Honey and everybody, welcome back to the Mawa Dissing Show. I am Nicole Bukinage.
And I'm Shirley Nordrum. And today in the studio visiting with us is Della Kingbird. Good morning, Della.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Cool.
Thanks.
So we're going to visit with you and hear some stories from the missionary. Is that, that's where you grew
up,
right?
That's where I'm from, yeah.
Yeah. Where did you? Where was your house there when you were a kid?
Right on the corner of County Road 8 and County Road 33.
Okay. Is there, there's a little brown cabin there now, right?
That's it.
That's mm-hmm. the house that's that you grew up in? House,
yep.
That is the historic Della Kingbird yes. house? Cool. Yes. Who lives there now?
My nephew, Derek Kingbird.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I think I knew that in the back of my mind. So what was that like growing up back then? What did you guys do for fun?
Well, I don't know about for fun, but I remember we had a house bigger than what's there now. And that burnt down in 1956, and that's where everything happened. Like, that's where we would have our funerals. My mother is Mide, so we already always had services at my house. And then when that burnt down, then we got the little bitty house, 14 by 17, and we all lived in that little bitty house. And then through the years, the reservation built on rooms.
Yeah.
So that's where my mom lived.
How many people lived in that little tiny house then?
At one point, that 14 by 17, there was my sister and her two kids, myself and my niece. She's actually my niece. She was brought up as my sister. Her name is Elizabeth. And my mom and my mother took care of her nieces and nephews off and on. And so there was always a lot of us.
Yeah.
And for fun, we were always down at the bridge swimming, or we were over at the point swimming. We'd go up the hill to play with my cousins, and there was always trails. So there's no, didn't have no roads, so there was only paths and trails and lots of berries along the way. And we had our playhouse was in the bush. We cleared out a little area alongside the path, and that was our home. And our boy cousins were our husbands, and and our cars were our covers from old kettles.
Uh-huh.
And we'd be hanging on to their shirts as we drove along. We didn't have real babies, and we didn't have no dolls. So we just wrapped up any old thing just to have a baby. Swimming mostly, I guess, was our fun.
That's interesting because we interviewed another person that grew up down Ottingham Way, and then they said that they weren't allowed to swim unless it was a grown-up or... how did she say that? She said that differently.
A big person.
Oh, yeah, no. We were just gone mostly all day.
Yeah.
We would have our biscuit and our lard and salt and pepper and our tea, and we'd be gone.
Well, you packed a lunch while you
No, went. No, no. We'd have at home.
You had that at breakfast, and then you took off
and
all day long?
We took off, pretty much.
Your biscuit and your lard kept you going all day, huh?
All day long.
And then you ate what you found out there?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
I remember you telling me a story that you ate turtle eggs.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe I had turtle eggs, and my mom would boil up a bunch of turtle eggs, and we'd put them in our pockets and snip off the top and
suck it up. So did you think, you obviously felt it was good at the time?
It was good at the time. It probably would still be good, but I don't think I could ever do that again.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I just can't stand the thought of sucking up an old turtle egg.
Well, let's think about it this way. It's either you or a skunk.
Oh, yeah, I suppose, huh?
He's going to get it.
Yeah.
So did you guys have gardens? Did you grow your own food? Or?
No, we didn't. My mom had a small garden across the road, and I don't really know what she planted. I didn't help out in that. In fact, I never helped out in a lot of things that they did.
Oh, yeah?
I was 10 years younger than my sister and about 8 years younger than my youngest brother, so... I didn't really get to do all the stuff that they had to.
Yeah. You remember them doing that though, huh?
But I remember them having a garden, and they went picking, you know, like blueberries and Juneberries. There were a lot of Juneberries at that time.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. That Saskatoon berry.
Saskatoon, and I didn't know that's what they were.
Juneberry are the same plant.
Yeah.
It's a good berry. How about fishing? Did you guys fish?
Yep. I think we had fish almost every morning. Like, we'd have potatoes, probably a whitefish, and onion, bacon if we were lucky.
Yeah.
Good meal.
Really good meal. Was that you or was that someone else telling me about with your mom or your grandma or someone making net by?
Oh, what? Yeah, not my mom, but my mother's, one of my mother's relatives. She made her own nets. I remember she'd buy spools of what's this kind of thread? It's a spool of thread. It's not regular thread. It's a really carpet thread.
Oh, really?
And that's what she used to make the net. And she would. She had this little square thing, and I still got one of this thing that she put the thread on.
Yeah?
I still got that one little tool. But that's interesting. I don't know. I don't think I could ever get anything started like that.
Yeah? Do you know or can you remember were the nets as long as they are now?
No, nope, they're not. Mm-mm. They were only like maybe, I don't even think they were 50 feet.
Really? Because I've heard that too, that yeah, the nets back just, in the day were shorter.
They were just enough to get across the river.
And that river that you fished in is the?
Is the Mississippi.
The Mississippi mm-hmm. River.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool stuff.
So did you guys raise?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't until I was older. My mom was always gone. Come home late at night. And I always tell the story about my mom when she'd first go ricing the very first day. They'd bring home their rice and she'd have rice beards on in her hair and she'd go and get her racing license. Because we never had any money, you know, to begin with for her to go and get her license. But she'd go racing that day and then she'd buy her license after racing.
Do you know anything about the old Sama bundles they used to put on the lake before they went racing?
Well, I know my mom never did the bundles. She would just take tobacco and put it in them. And that happened even before fishing too. Mm-hmm. Before she'd put her net out and before she'd get it, you know, just leaving the lake, she'd put her tobacco in the water. Yeah.
Okay.
Good to remember those things. I mean, that's more important than having your license.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's asking permission from someone that's important. And I remember sitting at DRM one time. That was a lot different back in the day. The courtroom used to be there, and I was in there because I was working with maps, and this truck pulled in, and it was loaded just high with bows. I mean, they had a lot of bows on that truck, and I don't know, they pulled out, and I decided to go get some coffee, and I don't know, nosy or whatever. I asked them, I said, what were they doing? And they said, oh, they're getting a bow license.
That's the same kind of story.
Yeah, did you look out the window? I had a whole truck.
Same thing, yeah.
Funny stuff.
That's another thing we never did, though, in the bow picking. To me, it's just recent, you know, it's a new thing to me. We didn't do that when we were younger.
How about, I know this is kind of an old thing, though, making those Princess Pine wreaths out of, out of Princess Pine. And, like, my grandma did that for Memorial Day instead of going to buy plastic flowers and a cross or whatever. On Memorial Day, they make a little wreath, and they use those, you know what I'm talking about?
Those Princess Pine, yeah, those are really, that's really a pretty plant. It looks soft. And
it really is, mm-hmm. And that's what she did for that
time.
They
make nice Christmas wreaths.
Yeah. I don't remember her doing Christmas wreaths, but I remember that was the thing that we put on the graves. And mm-hmm. I don't visit the graves. I don't do that. But I almost thought about doing that this year. I saw Princess Pine when I was up in Red Lake, so I was thinking about that. So I should
pick a bundle, pick a bag of it.
And just do it. Yeah. Just remember that that's how that was done. Well, I was thinking about you and your stories. And I remembered a beautiful, beautiful story, kind of because a friend of mine sent me that book about, what the heck is it called? No. It's about the women holding the community together. Do you know the name of that book? Anyway, that word Mindemuye, about holding, the one who holds things together, that's what that's about. And I remembered a story, I believe it was your grandma that would sit up at night, and when your old wood stove had to work, work real hard.
Excuse me, yeah.
Would you mind sharing that story with us? Because I think that's a beautiful story.
No, my mom, my grandma would, she always laid on the floor. She was always right next to that stove. And our stove was one of those old tin oblong space heaters. It wasn't even, you know, it was just a tin oval, looked like a great big pot or something. But anyway, that's where we kept our, that's how we got our heat. And sometimes, you know, it got so old that she would use vegetable cans for the legs. And she would be at the, right next to it. And I don't think she ever slept, because those sparks would just fall out of that stove, and they'd fall on her dress or they'd fall on her blanket. And she would be there to just kind of put them out.
Yeah.
And that's how we, you know, she was our keeper for the night. And she, I don't know when she could have got her sleep.
She must have.
But she must have slept a little bit through the night, maybe, I don't know. Or maybe she just let the fire go out and went to sleep. But when, during the night when we would, when we'd go to bed, she would be there with her little bottle of water, and she'd put them out for us. I remember those sparks falling on maybe her blanket or on her dress. Yeah.
I think about that story a lot. It touched me. I'm not sure how, but when it's cold out, like this winter was very cold.
It was cold, yeah.
I thought about what our ancestors endured, you know, even before there were houses. How cold, you know, I act like a big baby, a bundle all up to, you know, walk out to a car that's going to warm up in a little bit. And this winter I thought about that a lot, but I always think of that story a lot.
Our house wasn't insulated. It was just a shell of a house. It didn't have no insulation, nothing between the wallboard or the 2x4s. We didn't have a ceiling. So it was hard to, at that time I thought our house was big.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't, but it looked big to me.
A lot of people talk about, you know, we say that's poor now. We use that word poor, but we didn't know we were poor. When you're poor, sometimes you don't know you're poor unless someone else tells you.
Mm-hmm. I think we were rich.
Yeah.
I think we were rich because we were all together.
Yeah.
My grandma helped my mother a lot. We didn't have a dad. He died way back in the 40s or something.
Yeah.
So he didn't. And when he died, my mom brought everybody back to Leech Lake.
Where were they?
From Red Lake. They were in Red Lake.
Red Lake?
Mm-hmm. Or Red Bee. So we didn't have a guy around the house except for my brothers, and they were kind of young.
Yeah.
15, I think, when the oldest one was when they came back from Red Lake.
Did you guys speak language when you were little?
We did. My grandmother died when I was 11, but we were really fluent Ojibwe speakers, my cousins and I, and I think there was only a few of them left that still talked really good Indian.
Mm-hmm.
They've, you know, died young. My cousin John Dorr was really a good Indian speaker, and he died, I think, when he was like 30. My cousin Leslie, he died when he was 24. Those were the only two, I think, that I remember that spoke really good and kept on, you know, and they kept on talking even after my grandmother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was living, she couldn't talk English, so we had to talk Indian.
Yeah.
And then my mom never kept it up, you know. She talked Indian with you know, her sisters and with us, but not, she didn't make us talk Ojibwe back to her like she should have.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you guys had a pretty awesome childhood.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. My mom stayed home with us all the time. She worked hard.
Where did you guys go to school?
I went to Cass Lake. The rest of them went to the mission school. It was a country school.
Mm-hmm.
They all went there, and then they'd go to Cass Lake when they were in a, I don't know what grade they finally transferred to be Cass Lake, but I didn't get to go to the country school. I started right in the public school in Cass Lake.
Were they closing the other school down or something while you started in Cass Lake?
I think that's about the time they closed it down.
Where was it? Where was that school at?
Right at the Episcopal camp. It's that first building as you go into the Episcopal camp. Later it was a residence, but all the area kids went to school there.
Was it an Episcopal school or?
No, it was a public school.
It was a public school?
Mm-hmm.
And then it became a place where the Episcopal mm-hmm. camp was.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Those are good stories. Good stories from the mission area. I think these stories are so important to capture and remind young people, you know, stories from the past, to hear how it was and share them with our future generations as well. So is there anything else you want to share with us about your life there out in the mission?
I don't think so. I think I've the only thing that my grandkids can't believe is that we never had any running water, we never had electricity, we never had television, that we were outside and not inside almost all day long.
All day long? Did you have a hand pump, or did you go to the lake to get water?
We went to the river, and later we got a hand pump, so yeah.
Is that hand pump really still there?
Yes, it
That's
is.
That's what I thought
yes,
it was.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
We just need to get it working again.
Yeah?
That is really good water. Cold.
It was working, well, I guess that was a long time ago, about maybe 16 years ago?
15 years ago, yeah, but it was.
Yeah, because I was out there, and I got some water from there.
Anybody really could have stopped by to get water, yeah.
It was good water, so yeah. Maybe we need to go down to the store and get a.
Wouldn't it be great to get a? Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to get that going again?
Put it back.
Everybody could stop by and get a cold drink of water.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And we'll put that on our list of things.
Yeah,
to do
that. Get somebody to help us do that.
Very
that would
cool.
be great.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Della. We really appreciate it.
Be You're rich. Welcome, be rich. Shirley. I didn't think it was going to be this good.
I knew it was going to be this good.
It's always fun, yeah.
Miigwech.
Miigwech.
So that was our visit with Della Kingbird. That was really, I like to go visit her a lot, but it was really kind of an honor to have her to come over to be on the radio, and then realize that using radio as a media to share with the community and the kind of get a better understanding of what community radio is was pretty cool, because I think she's pretty happy at the end of that. And I love visiting with people about the old days and mm-hmm. hearing what did they do and what did they eat and just the fun lifestyle that people, what they enjoy doing in their lives. And what I really like the story about, I can picture in my mind a line of kids pretending they were in a car hanging onto each other and using a pan or a pot or something as the steering wheel to make the car go. That is just the cutest picture in my mind.
They must have did that pretty frequently if that was the story that stuck out to her. But
it's fun. It must have been fun.
I bet.
I wonder if the driver ever speeded up and they had to run.
Well, you think about the things that we used to play when we were kids, you know, and we played outside a lot more than, I mean, I'm not that old, but I mean, people still consider me a young woman, even though I don't really see that I'm not 20, that's for sure, you know. But,
yeah. But no, we were outside all the time, too.
All the time. And now kids are video games, phones, Facebook. It's always technology. And, I mean, 20 years ago, we were outside a lot.
Yeah, we played a lot of kick the can, because we moved into town when I was like 7 or 8. And we played, you know, there was a lot of kids on the city block that we lived on. And each house had, like, you know, 10 kids. It was just a bunch of kids. So we played in groups, and we played a lot of kick the can in the alley. Mm-hmm. So we'd hide around and, you know, make the neighbors mad because somebody was in hiding in the raspberry bushes or whatever. But
yeah,
we played a lot of that. And my sister mentioned something that I had forgotten. Annie, I over. I'm still not really clear on what that was, but the name Annie, I over means something to me. Send somebody right over. I don't know. I think you tried to break through each other's arms or something. Yeah, running.
When I was little, it was Red Rover, send so and so over.
Oh, you guys changed it up
a little bit, yeah. And you were on teams and you held your hands out like this. Maybe yeah. There was 5 to 10 of you, and
so you're all locked.
You
in
had
a chain.
To break through.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you didn't break through, then you got to go back to your team. But if you did break through, then. Or if you didn't break through, you had to join their team.
Yeah. Just a name change of a game. I noticed when I came down here, I was doing an activity over at the Bug School, and they were playing a game called Duck, Duck, Goose. We were all sitting in a circle, and then somebody walks on the outside and taps someone on the head, and then they're it, and they have to chase the person mm-hmm. back to their seat. I grew up in International Falls, and we called that Duck, Duck, Gray Duck. So I don't know if there's, like, regional names or...
That's what we used to call it, too.
Did you?
Duck, duck, gray duck, yeah.
They call that duck, duck, goose over there.
Huh.
So, I don't know. Just differences, but same games.
Right. And when we were little, we were always outside. And when we used to live out in the woods, we'd literally go play in the woods. And we'd run into people who were hunting, so we weren't supposed to be out there.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, my mom got really mad. No, we used to hear gunshots all mm-hmm. the time, and I mean, we'd see all kinds of animals, and we'd built forts out there, and mm-hmm. we knew those woods though. We
oh,
knew
yeah.
them real well, and you could run through those woods fast as a bullet, and you know where the trees were gonna be. And
yep.
That's how well we were. That's how much we were outside. That's how well we knew the surroundings.
Forts. When was the last time you heard a kid talking about playing in a fort?
I don't know.
You know, I was at a birthday party for one of our little bitty community members, and I was sitting with her grandma and her aunties when we were eating, and they were talking about building a living playground. And I was like, oh, what's a living playground? And she had these nice ideas about, you know, making up, you know, how everything's plastic and
mm-hmm.
and making things pretty, you know, with flowers and sunflowers. Sunflowers are beautiful, you know, and at least during the summer months, a living playground is an interesting idea, an interesting concept. And I got to thinking about it even more when we were down at Seed Savers Exchange in Decorah, Iowa. Obviously, people that are looking at flowers and seeds, that's probably kind of a little bit boring to a child. So they had a playground, play area with a sandbox. And what they did was they wove a little hut out of grapevine. Was this just like, it looked like a little beehive, but they could kids could go in there and, you know, hide out. And it was a fort.
Yeah.
It was a natural fort. And I just don't hear kids talking about forts or see anything like that around anymore. But that's the fun thing about, you know, talking to your elders and hearing or talking to any community member and hearing what they did as a kid growing up.
Yeah.
I remember stories, my friend, who's not that much older than I am, she's maybe 60, was talking about how they had a skating rink over on track, and they would hang out at the skating rink all winter long.
Really?
Yeah. Skating. And
where was that at? Over where the kind of where the Dickinogan or the new government building is then?
No, it was over more toward the hospital.
Huh. Mm.
And
I can't even picture one there right now.
Yeah,
there's so much going on over there.
And we had skating rinks too up in International Falls. They were, oh my goodness, hockey. You know, you had to learn to skate before you learned to walk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they were, I think they were 6 big city skating rinks.
Hmm.
And it didn't matter if it was 30 below out. You could hear the pucks hitting the skating rink. That's how you knew when there was a bunch of people at the skating rink. We weren't too far for one, like about 4 blocks from a big skating rink. And when you wanted to know if there was a bunch of people over there yet, you'd stick your head outside and you'd hear the puck hitting the side of the wall of the skating rink.
Yeah.
And then you knew it was busy and it was cool to go over there.
There was one when I was a kid in Bemidji. That's when we moved into town. Before that, we always lived kind of in the woods, you know. But there was one in Bemidji over in Nymoor at that Nymoor Park.
Mm-hmm.
They took it down when they put a new playground in there, what, maybe 10 years ago. But when I was a kid, we were able to go skate over there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wish I'd asked Della if they skated. That's a question for another visit.
Yeah.
I wish we would have had more time with her, and I think that in the future we'll ask her to come in and visit again.
I think she will.
Yeah, I think she will, too.
She had fun.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up. I appreciate you listening, and go visit with someone. Go sit down and have a conversation. It's so much different than Facebook or just passing each other on the street. Sit down, have a cup of coffee or a pop or something, and have a conversation. Right. Visit around, and we'll see you next time.
Oh, miigwech bizendo yeg minawa.